What's up? How's everybody doing? Well, Psalm is reflected. It's good to see all of you. Welcome. If I haven't met you, my name's Dane. I'm the pastor here, and we are so glad you are worshiping the Lord with us today. And as Johanna said, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We are doing a Christmas series. This Christmas series is centered around this prophecy that the prophet Isaiah stated hundreds of years before Jesus came, and he was talking to a nation who was in bondage, who was in difficult circumstance, and he was giving them hope that is to come, and this hope is a Messiah, and he says this Messiah, this person, will have a certain titles attached to his name, and those titles are found in Isaiah verse 9, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. It says this: "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will do this." And so that is a passage of scripture we're tackling and looking at during the month of December. Last week, Johanna talked about Wonderful Counselor. Today, we're going to look at what it means to be Mighty God. So would you pray, and we'll dive right into this. Our good and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you right now and we ask for your presence, your peace, your strength to be upon us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Open up our heart, our mind, our spirit to you. Would you move in this service today? And may we be totally transformed by your grace as we hear this message and leave this place. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when you came in this morning, you received a straw. How many got a straw? All right. These straws were not used for communion. They were not doing like smoothies, although smoothies would be a lot of fun. What I want to do with these straws today is, we got a picture that's going to be up on the screen, right there. See that picture on the screen? And so everybody take your straw and put it in, not in your eye, but up to your eye, and look at the picture on the screen and shout out what you see. What do you see? Waldo. Waldo. All right, we found him. He's right up there somewhere. What else? Go ahead. It's okay. Don't be shy. We're Pentecostal here. So. Santa, where's, oh yeah, there is Santa, there, green, something, whatever, great. So now take the straw away, and now you see a bigger picture, right? Through the straw, you only see a small little focus of one little thing, but when you take the straw away, you can see the bigger picture. A lot of times, and this is particular with Christians, that what we tend to do is we come to God, and we even do this during the Christmas season, is we come to God and we have this viewpoint of God, and that viewpoint is measured down to this little straw of how we see God. And what we do is we look and we say, God is this, and we're looking at God through a straw. And what we tend to do, not intentionally, but it happens this way, is that our viewpoint of God, of who God is then shaped in this little box that we put him in. That this is God, and this is how we see him, this is how we interact with him. based upon this. But God is so much greater than what we look through in a straw or our box that we confined him to. That God is almighty, he's all powerful, he's great, he is beyond our measure, he's beyond our imagination. This is God. And so my hope and prayer today is that we get rid of the straws, that we get rid of the box, and we come with this open idea of, wow, a sense of awe, a sense of holiness, a sense of majestic power of who God is. These straws are meant, because I have had tons of you say, spitwads. These are not spitwad things today. If you don't like my sermon, you can use them as spitwads, I guess, but we purposely took away the piece of paper so that wouldn't happen. So, but I just want us to get a glimpse of the bigness and vastness of God. I mean, turn with me if you have your Bibles. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we're familiar with this. Genesis 1 is the creation account. And just look at these verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, we've read this, we understand this, and it becomes just this familiar idea, but the concept of just that statement, voice, sound, God said, and then he said, let there be light, and bam, light happened by a voice, by spoken word, and God made it happen. So I'm going to share with you just some things that I found about the majestic and the awesomeness of God. These are not my things. I grew up in Roy. I went to Roy High, so I'm not that smart. That tells you right there, like, oh, he's Roy High, oh, yeah. But I'm going to share with you some amazing things that we know scientifically, all right? So light, when God said, let there be light, in that very moment, light travels through a vacuum at about 160,000 miles per second, per second. So you ever heard the term light year? Not Buzz Lightyear, but light year, right? Light year is a distant light travels in 1 year. Even a guy from Roy can get that. That is 5.88 trillion miles light can travel in 1 year. So God spoke, not only did light happen, but unimaginable speed happened. But God didn't stop there. He created light in the heavens, but he also created the sun, the moon. It marks our seasons, our days, and our years. Consider the moon. The moon is roughly just a bit smaller than the size of the United States. It orbits the earth in perfect clockwork precision. It is right where it needs to be, because if it was any closer, we would have tidal waves and floods all over the area. And God commands the moon and says, you're going to be there. The sun is even more incredible. It's enormous. The sun can hold over 1 million Earths within the sun. It makes up almost a mass of the mass of our solar system. It burns at unimaginable temperatures. It produces energy beyond anything that we can fathom. And yet God said, sun. And the sun happened. Now consider our galaxy. We live in the Milky Way, filled with hundreds of billions of stars. There are up to 2 trillion galaxies. 2 trillion galaxies. Our home, our galaxy, the Milky Way, is massive. It's 100,000 light years in diameter. The Milky Way contains over 100 to 400 billion stars. So I said, how fast is the speed of light? Do you remember? You don't remember. I just said it like 3 minutes ago. 5.88 trillion miles a year. It would take 100,000 years for light to travel across our Milky Way galaxy. That's how big it is. And the Milky Way is just one of thousands upon thousands upon thousands of galaxies. So we got a few pictures we pulled off the internet. So you are here, in case you're wondering. You're right there. That's you. There's a universe in size of comparison. If to scale it down, if our solar system, this is our solar system, was the size of a quarter, okay, the Milky Way would be the size of a continent, and we would be the size of a quarter. That's how massive it is. Let's go to the next. The stars. Hubble, that's the Hubble telescope that saw that. When scientists pointed the Hubble telescope at what looked like a dark, empty spot, they says, let's look at this dark, empty spot. They found that. Thousands of galaxies and tiny fractions of space. And Scripture says that God calls every single star by name. Everyone by name. We give them a number. You know, some of you even say, I've named a star after you. Well, you know, that's a nice gift that is really nice when you, you know, whatever. White elephant gift. Named us. So how mighty is God? Colossians 1 says this. By him, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. The stars, the moon, the galaxy, planets, rotations, all of it are held by God, mighty God. And so when you look at the vastness in this amazing, complex universe that we live in, we can feel a bit small, right? And guess what? We are. In fact, the psalmist says this, Psalm 8, 3 through 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Good question. Good question. This mighty God. We are tiny in the scope of the universe, but we're not insignificant. We are created on purpose, for a purpose, by an almighty God. So that's the macro level. Let's look at the micro level, our bodies. Our bodies contain over 100,000 miles of blood vessels. We produce millions of new cells every single second. And just one square inch of your hand are layers of sensors, nerves, vessels working constantly without us even thinking about it. Our heart pumps an extraordinary amount of blood in our lifetime. Your heart right now beats about 100,000 times a day, pumping 2,000 gallons of blood through 60,000 miles of blood vessels. That's enough vessels to circle the earth 2.5 times. Now, think of this. This is really cool. You're going to like it. There is more bacteria in your mouth than there are populations in some countries. Merry Christmas. So, when somebody says, mistletoe, rethink that. I'm just saying. If you stretch out the DNA of just one human cell, it would be about 6 feet long. If you stretched out the DNA in your entire body, it would reach from Earth to the sun back 100 times. Our eyes can distinguish over 10 million colors and send it directly to our brain. In your ear, there are 3 tiny bones in your ear. They're so small that they could sit on a penny. All 3 of them can sit on a penny. But it's with those bones that you can hear music, laugh, and whisper, I want to kiss you, but not anymore. So, we are uniquely and wonderfully made by an almighty God. So who is this mighty God? Who is this mighty God? Julio, just sing it. His name is what? Jesus. Well, so how do you know that? John 1, verse 1 and 2, it says this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Listen, all things were made through him, and without him, not anything made that was made. So John's saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by this Word. Well, who is this Word? John 1:14 says this: the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus, God, becomes flesh and dwells among us. That's the story of Christmas, is it not? His name shall be called Emmanuel, and Emmanuel means God with us. Well, where do you get that? Matthew 1, God comes, and Joseph is going to marry Mary, and he finds out she's pregnant, so he's going to, like, I don't know about that. I'm going to divorce her. And so he has this dream, and an angel comes to him and says, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord spoken by the prophet: behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Jesus, God, this almighty God who spoke and these galaxies form, is now in a woman's stomach, about to become flesh and dwell among us. Almighty God with us. And in Luke chapter 1, the encounter the angel had with Mary said this: the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. So both Joseph and Mary received this message from an angel saying, God is coming to dwell with you, and you're going to be the earthly parents. Whoa, that's crazy. This almighty God. And we read in Philippians chapter 2, it describes it all perfectly, that Jesus left his throne in heaven and came as a man, and not only a man, but a servant to man, and that he died for his creation. Therefore, God exalted him and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess, every knee shall bow and declare Jesus is Lord. So we have God, Almighty God, who created all this stuff, comes and lives within us. The one who created your innermost being knows your in and out, everything about you. Almighty God has come to dwell with us. So, the one who said, Wellsville Mountains, boom, Wellsville Mountains. The one who created the animals on the plains in Africa. The ones who created the whales and the all the things in the sea. God is dwelling with us. Mighty God with us. So what does that mean? So I'm going to share with you just 3 points real quick. Number one is this: God is mighty to work in your situation. If God is mighty to say, let there be light, and there was light, if God is mighty to say, moon, stars, you're right here, you can't go any further, if God is mighty to say, form you and create DNA, bones, nerve system, blood, and heart, if God is mighty to say to the ocean, you could only go so far and no further, if God is mighty to create a small ant as well as a large whale, if God can create little insects that you call a pest control and say, get rid of, if God is all that and almighty, I think he can work in your situation. It's the Bible says this to Mary. Mary says, like, how can this be? How can God come and dwell in me? How can that be? I'm a virgin. How can that be? And the angel says, it's impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. There's nothing off the table. God can work. And here's the thing. Some of you have been struggling with your finances. Some of you have been struggling with health or relationship issues. And you're like to the point like this is never going to end. This is never going to be fixed. This I will deal with this the rest of my life. I'm telling you, God is able to move. God is mightier than your health issues. He's mightier than your financial problems. He's mightier than anything. Almighty God dwells with you. If he said, let there be light, he could say, cancer be gone. Yes. Just the same words, right? And so God, with him, nothing is impossible. The same God. And just think of how often, I lost my straw. Oh, here it is. Just think of how often we're so centered around God in our little box. God through our straw. Even with our theology. Think of the word Trinity. Just think of that Trinity, and that word scares so many people. Well, how can that be? How can God be just one person and three different people? You know, one God and three different persons. How can that be? Who was Jesus talking to when he was on the cross? All these questions that deal with the Trinity that we get a lot in Utah. The questions of Trinity. And what happens is what we're doing is we're looking at God through this. Well, how can that be? How can that happen? How can he be one God in three different persons? Well, how small is your God? I mean, if God can say, let there be light, and all of a sudden there was light, I think he can be one God, three persons. And so throw away your straw mentality and think of God bigger. He's not you. And we can't put him in our little human box. He's beyond that. And so it affects everything. It's like, man, God is on my side. God is with. God has come to dwell with me in the person of Jesus. So that leads to point number two. God is mighty to love. So when we think of how big God is, the universe is, and all this stuff, we can feel lost in it, right? I mean, even today as I preached this morning, and even right now, just talking about the vastness and the bigness of God, I feel so insignificant and so small and lost. And it says, if God is so mighty, he's got to be distant. Why would that mighty God care about me? Why would he be so concerned with my buying Christmas gifts this Christmas? Why would he even care about my health? Why would he even care about my struggles? He is just this mighty God who couldn't care less about me. Listen, God is for you. It's not all about you, but he's for you. And he loves you, and he cares for you. He's not against you. Even with this, where we can feel like, man, if God only knew, and he does, the sin in my heart, the things that I've done, how I keep going back to this one thing. If God saw the real me, and guess what? He sees the real you. You feel like, man, there is no way that God will love me. There's no way that God will forgive me. There's no way that God will reach out. Because I am just a terrible, terrible person, and I keep going back to the same sins. I keep going back to the same struggles. I am a terrible, terrible person. How could God love me? And the Bible is very, very clear that at your worst, while you are still a sinner, God loved you. God loves first. Jesus loves you first. Doesn't mean that you come and clean yourself up and make yourself all pretty and say, am I lovable now? No, he loved you at your worst. In your troubles, in your hardships, in your difficulty, God loves you at your worst. When my kids were little, when they're Aiden and Ethan were like 2 or 3 years old, we were living in this house, and we were doing some remodel, and Bev and I were upstairs doing something, and they were downstairs playing, and then it just got quiet. It's never a good sign when little toddler boys are at home and it's quiet. It's never a good sign. And since we were doing some remodel, I had some paint in the storage room. I had these gallons of paint, and I apparently didn't close the lid of this red paint that was down there. And so we go downstairs, and all of a sudden we begin to see the disaster zone, you know. Red paint on the carpet here, red paint on the walls here, red paint on Brother Aiden, red paint on Brother Ethan. I mean, artist work all over the walls. And they were like, huh. They got to the paint, apparently, you know. And it was just this, like, and they're just looking at us. You know, paint all over them, just looking at you. What? What's wrong? What's wrong? Now, did I throw them out? Obviously not. You know? Me, as an earthly, sinful father, loved my kids, even in the midst of disaster. Yeah, thank you. In the midst of everything, I love my kids. And how much more does a mighty God love you and care about you and wants what's best for you? Romans 8 is the, to me, is one of the greatest chapters in all the Bible. And at the end of Romans 8, it says this: what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is condemned? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and look what he's doing, who is indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, God loves you. He loves you. This almighty God who created the vastness of the universe came and died for you. Loves you. You, cares about you. Oh, what an awesome God. Which leads to my third point. God is mighty to transform. Only God can create life from galaxies to the human heart. The one who holds the universe together is the same one who shapes and restores our very soul. Listen, some of us here in this room today, or those watching online, are struggling with addiction, struggling with sin, struggling with chains that are just holding you down, and you've been fighting it for years, decades. And you're like, will this ever be broken free from me? Will I walk in freedom? Listen, I know you've been praying about it. I know you've been struggling with it, but God is a God who can transform. I believe that today is a day where God can transform that, that he can break those chains, he can break addictions, he can transform our heart, he could transform your soul, he could transform the innermost being of whatever you are fighting with. You may say, well, Dane, I've been struggling with this for a long time. I know, but today is a day where God can move. If he can speak and say, let there be light, if let there be mountains, let there be animals, let there be galaxies, let there be blood vessels, let there be this heart, do this, let this be to happen. He is powerful enough to break those things in your life today. That he can transform your heart of sin and bring you into a right relationship with him. That this mighty God loves you and wants to be in relationship with you. He can transform you. He can do the impossible. So don't hold back today. Man, say, man, God, I need you to move in this. I know I prayed this 100 times, but I'm going to pray it 101 today. I know my marriage is on the rocks, but God, you can heal that. I know my finances are struggling, but God, you can provide. I know I'm facing this cancer, but God, you're greater than cancer. You can do the impossible. So I'm praying and I'm asking that you will transform my situation today. If you are almighty, which you are, and if you love me, which you do, will you do this for me today? And so we're going to have the worship team come up, and we're gonna sing this song. And I just want you guys to step out and just believe and just say, God, one more day. I just need you today. I just need you to move my life today. I need salvation in my soul today. I need to be close with you, Almighty God. Because right now I feel lost. I feel hopeless. I feel empty inside. I need a connection with the Almighty God. And so today, don't hold back and just say, just release it. Let's respond. Let's respond to God and say, Lord Jesus, you said you loved me. You said you redeemed me. You said that you rescued me from my sin. I need that rescue today. I am tired of looking at you through this. I need to see you through a bigger picture. I need to experience that bigger picture in you today. And so we're going to, as we sing the song, I'm going to encourage you just to step out and come to the altars if you want, and just say, kneel at these altars and say, Lord, today's the day. Today I need a touch from you. Today's when I need healing. Today's when I need financial provision. Today's when my marriage is going to be restored. It's going to start today, because I'm crying out to a God who loves me, who cares for me, and is mighty to do it. And so if you want to come to the altars, we want to do that. If you want to stay in your seat, you can do that. But there's something about taking that step of faith and just going forward and say, man, I've tried everything. I'm going to try God. And he's mighty to save. And so would you stand with me? Father, we come right now. Lord, we need you. Would you move? Would you move, Almighty God? Would you move right in here, right now, in this place? Have your way. Break chains, break addictions, restore, heal, set free, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name.